Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Do it while eating a sandwich. Yeah. All right. Today's Hillmail voicemail messages are brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Reach out now and find out about their Spring Into Savings program. It's almost spring. Wednesday, 6 p.m. is when we flip over to spring. Woo-hoo. You're going to save 10% off a brand new metal roof, eastcoastmetalroofing.com. Just go to eastcoastmetalroofing.com. And now, here are the very best Hillmail voicemail messages you have left for us over the previous few days.
Friday, 7:26 a.m.
Hey, I heard Marty was going to designate the Uber and Lyft pickup areas with a smiley face, so that the smiley face killer knows where to go.
End of message.
Oh, you know,
that's not right.
Couple smiley face things going on, which we got to get to this week. One is, I don't know if you remember, but when we were doing the show from the MGM casino in Springfield,
yes.
And a guy came up and said that there were, told us about a news story out there about a man who was missing. He has finally turned up his body and turned up in a body of water there. That's where they found him.
Really?
So we have to update that. And then I don't know if you saw the story about those two guys who were commended by the Boston police last week for rescuing a guy who was in the water. Did you happen to see
no,
that?
No.
Yeah. And one of the brothers of one of those guys reached out to me, I think Instagram or Twitter or something, and said we ought to talk to his brother because when they found the guy in the water, he had no recollection. He was drinking.
Yeah.
And he had no recollection of what happened and how he ended up in the water.
Huh. Well, I totally believe it's the whole roofie thing.
You think the guy's
well,
a
yeah,
roofie.
Because it takes, you know, you just add, you put the roofie in the drink, you drink the drink.
Yeah.
Then the guy's got a plan. He knows that he has 30 minutes.
Right.
Before you're going to completely dismantled.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you watch as that series has continued to unfold, the one that they filmed live in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on A&E. You watch as they go all over the country, and there's way too many coincidences for them to just be coincidences. I mean, it's not. By the way, that HBO documentary airs tonight. The one that I have been dying to see on the woman who created that single prick blood test that they were using in CVS.
Oh yeah,
the inventor is the name of it. It's on. It debuts tonight at 9 o'clock. So that is, I think that's going to be a must watch.
Friday, 8:11 a.m.
You know, if they're investigating Lori Loughlin for bribing to get her daughter into college, I think Sally Field should run and hide because I think she did something a lot worse to get her son Forrest into school.
End of message.
I love how the audio resurfaces now with Lori Loughlin and her daughter Olivia Jade from all of these YouTube videos that they did.
Yeah, didn't you think you might want to go back and scrub that?
Well, I probably worried about other things, but I this one has resurfaced where her daughter was quizzing her on some millennial slang. And Lori Loughlin says, references the fact that she's paying so much for her daughter to go to college, and essentially her daughter doesn't know anything.
England is my city.
England is not a city.
I know, that's why it's so, so, so iconic on YouTube.
What was the word?
The line is, England is my city. I was going to ask if you knew that was from, but I knew you would never know what that was from.
Oh, I don't know what England. If you would have said, England is my city, I would say, why did I pay all this money for your education?
We know why you paid all that money for her education.
Exactly.
Because you wanted to be able to tell all your friends where she was going to college.
Exactly.
Where she was Instagramming from.
Can I also say that Patty from our Drunk Southie Parade Goer quiz also thought England was a city?
Yes.
But in Ireland.
Yeah, but in Ireland. Yes, you're right about that.
Friday, 8:15 a.m.
Is the Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade family friendly? Well, I suppose if you mean, is there a possibility you might get a little too friendly with someone and accidentally start a family? Then yeah, I suppose it is.
End of message.
Only 88 parade goers yesterday charged with drinking in public. Just 88. That's not too bad. Out of a million people.
Yeah, seriously,
there,
really so not.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Friday, 9:18 a.m. End of message.
Worcestershire.
Yes.
Repeat after me. Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
Saturday, 9:25 a.m.
Democratic presidential hopeful Beto O'Rourke has done a complete 180 and has announced that he will not, in fact, seek the office of the President of the United States. He has, however, decided to accept a lucrative position on the shores of Cape Cod as a windmill. President Trump denied allegations that he was denied the position because he has teeny tiny little hands.
End of message. Sunday, 1:46 p.m.
You know, I went to Senator Lindsey Graham, and I said, Senator Graham, I said, I have this terrific, amazing idea, great marketing strategy. You take two surviving members of the Monkees, and you take the two surviving members of the Beatles, and you put them together, and they tour. You'll fill out arenas all over the country, and they sing each other's songs, and who knows, maybe they'll even come up with some new stuff. And Senator Lindsey Graham, I'll never forget it, he looked right at me and he said, that's the dumbest effing idea I ever heard.
End of message. Sunday, 3:44 p.m.
So Greg stayed for both the Celtics and the Bruins game yesterday, and they both won. I guess hell has frozen over. Well, not quite.
End of message.
I think that must be the non-jinx of John Dooley, the Echo Store Technology CEO.
Yes, I think
if
so.
If he's there, the then jinx doesn't count. Yeah. Right?
The John Dooley positivity outweighs the...
Yeah. The negativity
the
drinks,
I get, the philanthropic efforts. Yeah.
Duels is a neutralizer.
That's right. Ooh. That's right.
5:47 a.m.
Happy belated cultural appropriation change day.
End of message.
Nobody ever complains about St. Patrick's Day being cultural appropriation. Why is that?
Oh.
I mean, we haven't heard anybody saying we must change the name of this holiday and that it's all about people going out and drinking alcohol and blacking out and taking their clothes off where they're not supposed to be taking their clothes off and all of those kind of things. So. And I'm glad that nobody has said we have to change it because it's one of the great days in our country. It
all
really
he did
is.
Was drive the snakes out of Ireland or rats.
Or
We're
rats.
Not sure yet.
Yeah, he drove the he had baseball bats and he started a revolution with rats. That's what we learned earlier. All right, is that it?
That's it.
All right. Thank you for participating this morning during Hill Mail, and it is 8:08, and time to welcome into the studio. The Irish tenor, Paul Byram. Paul, how are you, buddy?
Good.
Slightly hungover. Well, if you're a good, if you're what, there he is.
Good to see you.
We got that microphone. Oh, no, stand right up.
You don't even have a chair for me.
Don't go
getting out of a seat for me, mother of God.
LB,
it's
sit
not a
down.
Huge ask. I just asked for a chair. Mother of God, is there no rider?
I know. I said earlier, I didn't.
What is this?
Yeah, no, I know. We're kind of low budget.
We're
low budget over here.
How are we?
How are you doing?
Are we on air?
Yes, we're on air.
Hilarious.
Yeah, we're on the air right now. now. And I had the pleasure of seeing you sing the anthem at the game on Saturday.
It was a lot of fun, right?
And then I did the most annoying thing probably that people do to you. I saw you at Strega afterwards.
Yeah.
And asked you to sing happy birthday to our good friend John Dooley's accompaniment to the game, Brianna.
John Dooley's accompaniment. Hey, that's
I don't know how he wants me to refer to her. Would you say girlfriend?
I'd say girlfriend.
They looked girlfriend, boyfriend
so
material.
Is that an annoying thing when people find out you're an Irish tenor and then they ask you to sing right away?
Yeah, you get it all the time. But, like, you know, I've been asked to do worse things than that. So, you know, it's fine. You know, like when you come to America, there's nothing like, say 33 and a third. Hilarious.
Say Thursday. Yeah. As people want you to say
let's
Thursday.
Let's do a shot.
Yeah. Or say that again. You've got an accent. You know, that's kind of slightly more annoying than sing a song. Yeah, at least I can sing a song. And, you know, yesterday I was down at Southie at the parade. Some of the things that were said to me, I'm like, oh my God, you're like from Ireland? Like, that's hilarious. Like, say that again. Do you know you've got an accent? I'm like, no, I didn't. Nah. You know you've got an accent. Do I? Yeah, no, like everyone's got an accent. What? Oh my God, I have an accent. Yeah, Southie was fun yesterday. I enjoyed the parade. It was good crack. I was listening to you guys on the way in, you know, this like name three cities in Ireland.
Yes.
Hilarious. Like somebody said Shannon. Did one of you say Shannon?
I said Shannon.
A mother of God, really?
Well, because I've been
not
to the
a
airport.
City.
I mean, I've been to the airport.
It's where
before.
We land. Like, it's literally where the Americans land to refuel and go off again.
Yeah, no, I'm
like,
sorry.
There's nothing there other than that, you know. But yeah, it was quite funny listening to some of the answers, you know.
Now, we are Facebook Live. And
Facebook Live, how are you?
Is that okay? Is that all right? I know you're hungover.
You know,
And we're also, I am Instagram Live, so Greg Hill 107, if you want to see Paul. How does one become an Irish tenor? What was your infliction?
It's like a rash.
It's a rash.
You wake up one morning and you just have it.
Hold on, I'm right in the middle of a question. How did you become an Irish tenor?
Well, so I started singing at as a very young age. So I started training classically at the age of 7. And then, I did my first opera at the age of 12, released an album at 14, and I've kind of been at it since, and I'm 39.
You got a lot of cake, you got a lot of money, huh, kid?
Yeah, I've just been slogging a dead horse for a long time now. You know? But yeah, so I've been at it, and then the voice obviously changes, you know, as you get older. And so generally, if you're a boy soprano, like when the voice breaks, it can often not come back at all, you know? And so I was very lucky. It just kind of slid through into that kind of tenor register and just kind of kept singing. And it's like I've been so long at it, I don't know what else to do, you know?
Well, you don't have to do anything else.
If anybody knows of any suggestions for a real job, I'd be happy.
How did you end up doing the anthem at the Celtics game?
So years ago, about in 2008, I was involved in a show called Celtic Thunder, which was a big kind of PBS show, you know, and
sure.
Then during the promo of that, they asked us to come out and do the anthem. I think it was around this time, you know, Paddy's Day kind of vibe, and that was all grand. And then I went solo in 2010, and I just reached out again. I was like, listen, you don't by any chance need an Irish tenor, do you? And they were like, sure, why not?
Of course we do.
So,
of course, why not?
I came in and did it, and I think what I do, as you heard, I mean, which blows my mind with the anthem over here. Everybody seems to want to do something different with the anthem all the time. Every time they get out to sing it, whether it's the Super Bowl or whether it's, you know, just down at the local park, everybody feels this need to kind of do something unusual with the bloody anthem. You know, just sing it as it was written.
Right.
You know, just sing it.
Don't they say it's such
a beautiful song.
Don't they say it's one of the hardest songs to sing? Or?
I think it's a hard song when you start trying to be... Excuse the expression, I know it's early, but if you start trying to be a dick, you know, it's a hard song. But if you just sing it as it's written and respect it, you know, like any anthem,
right?
It's a nice song, you know? Yeah. And so I did that, and I just sing it as it's written, and I think the Celtics like that. And so because of that, they ask me back and regularly. And so whenever I'm in town, I just shoot them. I've built up this relationship with them over the years. And so I just drop them an email whenever I'm in town and they go, yeah, great, come on in. And they're always very accommodating. And thankfully, the reaction is always very positive. And as I said, I'm very...
very passionate about it, actually, you know, as, and I'm not even American, but I just, it annoys me when people start messing with it, something that's
I love it.
So important.
I love it.
And
there used to be a guy in Hartford that sang the national anthem for an NHL team, the Hartford Whalers.
Right.
And he used to, it was so annoying. He used to end it like, "And the home of the brave," and he'd go on for like 2 minutes. And you'd be like, "Dude,
yeah, just go
it's
home."
It's the anthem.
Yeah, no, it annoys. And like, it's bizarre to me because no other country, like, you hear anthems all the time, like the German, the French, the Irish. You know, nobody else does it.
Yeah.
And yet it comes to the American anthem, and there's this, you know. Like, I think the worst, I don't know if she's listening, and I'm sorry if you're listening, darling, but you were horrendous, Fergie, when you sang the anthem.
No.
Like, I don't know what was going on there. Like, she started to try to get all jazzy or something.
Yeah.
I was like, mother of God, put an end to it, you know.
Now, the Irish tenor Paul Byram is here. You had a question, Shu?
Yeah, you mentioned you were hungover.
Hmm.
What happens to, the, like... You always hear about
when I
the
say hungover, possibly still drunk. I,
okay.
I don't know.
Oh, I understand the, I understand the medical term.
Yeah, yeah.
I always heard like the singers, the people take care of your voice. You got to go to bed early.
Hmm.
You know, you refrain from alcohol or partying or anything like that. Not in your case.
I'm clearly absolutely everything that's not what you just said.
Outside the box. I'm outside the box, kid.
Yeah. No, I will say. So I've had. I've been working literally since I did a gig on Wednesday night in Philadelphia. I got up and flew up to Boston and did a breakfast here in town at 8 o'clock, and then I was doing a number of gigs, and so I haven't touched the drink, and I wouldn't touch the drink when I've got gigs on or work on. You know, you do have to respect it. And joking aside, if I was to drink, I wouldn't be able to sing the next day. Not even remotely. So I don't, let's say, have a concert until Friday.
Yeah.
So I was able to have a few drinks then yesterday, because I did the breakfast yesterday with the senator.
Yeah.
And so I was singing at that, and then obviously I had the Celtics the day before, and I had a gig in Marshfield, a great bar. You got to check it out if you're ever in Marshfield, a place called Station 8. I was doing a doing a gig there on Friday night. And so, literally, I've been working. And so then, eventually, when I finished the breakfast yesterday, I was like, right.
All right.
Where's the bloody Guinness?
Game on.
Where's the Guinness?
Game on.
Let's get at it.
I couldn't be more stereotypical Irish. I mean, I love my Guinness, and I'll do an odd whiskey every now and again. And so, like, yeah.
Well, what did you think of the parade?
You know, it was great fun. So I lived in New York for 4 years, and I enjoyed the New York parade in that it's, you know, big, and it's very, you know, Irish, and there's, like, every band in the world plays in it, you know, but geez, they're all playing the same song up and down Fifth Avenue. Whereas yesterday, I think everybody that had something different about them was in the parade, you know, and it was really, really cool. I enjoyed it. It was great fun, and the atmosphere was brilliant, and I thought it was great. What happened? McGregor was kicked out of the parade?
Yeah, he got kicked out.
For what?
Well, I think he was just
Conor McGregor.
He was being Conor McGregor. So they said it was a mistake to invite him, but
we got
kicked out one time. We had a flatbed truck with the Dropkick Murphys playing on it.
Brilliant.
And they kicked us out halfway through because it was causing a ruckus.
And they were not polite about it.
Well, he passed us at one point, and he was behind all the politicians, and it was just, there was a rigmarole around him, you know, and the Boston police were trying to keep people away. And I thought, this is a disaster. Whoever thought this was a good idea, you know. Oh. And then I was at the Bruins, and he was there before the game, and the man's a lunatic.
Yeah, he is.
He's a lunatic.
In a good
I love
way.
Him, but he's a lunatic.
But he's a
well,
lunatic.
Not for nothing.
Yeah,
you wake up every day getting your, you know, somebody wanting to kick your ass up and down every street in the world.
I would say literally every time he goes to a public event, somebody thinks they're going to be able to beat up McGregor. You know? I was at an event there last year in Dublin, and he was at it, and he had security with him. I mean, probably the only man in the world that doesn't need security, and he had security.
And he had security.
But he was terribly nice. You know, he was very accommodating. Anybody that wanted a picture, anybody that wanted autographs, he was very accommodating. He's a good guy, you know.
Yeah.
Deep down, he's a good guy. I think there's a lot of bravado to it and a lot of showmanship to it. And he's smart. He's playing it smart.
Yeah, he is.
But sometimes he does things and you just go, oh, God, why, Connor, why?
who is the most who's considered to be the most legendary Irish tenor of all time?
Well, I mean, after myself.
After yourself, Paul. Yes, after you,
There's
Paul.
Some chasers.
Yes, after you, Paul.
No, I think, joking aside, I think There was a guy called Frank Patterson a few years ago. He was very much the Irish, quintessential Irish tenor. But years and years prior to that, there was a man called John McCormick. He was very operatic, and he would have been kind of the first Irish celebrity, really, you know.
Oh, he was, really?
He sang in the Metropolitan in New York. He was of that caliber, you know. He was world-renowned Irish tenor. So I think, Caruso and all of that would have kind of bowed to him, you know. He would have been the quintessential Irish tenor. I don't know how the Irish tenor thing has become so popular, you know.
I was going to ask about that.
I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not complaining, needless to say.
No.
Cash the check.
Yeah, right. But it is. It's a bizarre one, and it's an interesting one. For such a small country, I always kind of get a kick out of, like, we've fought 4 million people in Ireland, and we just seem to churn out musicians, like, by the truckload, you know.
Yeah.
Some are dog awful, but you know, some of them are good, you know.
Some great bands from Ireland.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, we the band situation, you know, even Hosier now at the moment is huge. He's exploded over here.
Yeah.
And he's from the next town down from me, from Wicklow, or next county down, Wicklow. Lovely kid, you know, and he's just doing great. He's fighting the fight, and Script, you know, they're another great group, and then, you know, obviously we've got U2 and the likes of. So yeah, it's bizarre. It's remarkable.
Now, you were telling me Saturday you live in Dublin now.
Yeah.
Which is a great city.
Dublin is a great city. It's I would say, it's very similar to Boston in many respects. It's growing at an alarming rate. You know, the joke is Dublin in size.
Yeah. Can you say Thursday again? Can you say thank you and Thursday again?
33, you're hilarious. Yeah. But you know, it's very similar, but it's expensive, man. It is an expensive city. Like,
well, that Temple Bar area is fantastic. God, like, I really like that place.
Like, if you come to Ireland, people say to me, like, oh, what do you do in Dublin if you don't want to go drinking? I'm like, just don't come.
Yeah. There's lots
of stuff to do. Dublin's a great city. I do a bus tour around Ireland every year, for a week, and people come from all over the world and they get on the bus, and we travel around the country, and I do a couple of concerts over the course of the week. And
I take my favorite spots around
Ireland. Yeah, it's great crack. But Dublin is always good fun, you know. Yeah. And as you were saying earlier on, there's great cities in Dublin outside of Dublin, should I say. Like Galway is a great city.
Yeah. I love Galway.
Cork City is a great city. Belfast now as well. So Belfast for years got a bad rap because of the troubles that were up in the north.
Yeah.
People didn't really go up there,
didn't want to go visit.
No, and even from down south, like, I wouldn't have gone up to Belfast. Whereas now it's a different city altogether, different vibe. It's great, you know, and that's why we're very, very adamant about kind of keeping the peace process in place. You know, this whole Brexit thing could, you know, really throw a spanner in the works for us. But, you know, cities like Belfast and Derry have really blossomed because of the peace process, you know. If you're ever in Ireland, like, I always say, spend a couple of days in Dublin and then get in a car and go west, you know.
Mm. Now,
go down to the rural parts. That's the real Ireland, you know.
Can I ask you, when it comes to films that have been made, I mean, everybody mentions The Quiet Man, and that's why that woman thought John Wayne was from Ireland earlier.
Yeah. You know, she was just stupid.
She was just stupid. What's your favorite film? I happen to like Waking Ned Divine. I don't know if you like that movie or not.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen that movie? Oh, okay.
Like, so there's been some great Irish movies made, you know, over the years. But, like, I think the worst accent ever made was Tom Cruise in Far and Away.
Yeah.
Horrendous. And I like Tom Cruise, but he needs to never do that again.
Yeah, that movie was awful.
Yeah. And then we had the Michael Collins movie, you know, Liam Neeson. And then Julia Roberts, who I truly love. I think we would have maybe made lovely babies.
Yeah.
She then made that Irish accent horrendous again. God love her. But so some of the great Irish movies, there have been some great Irish movies, you know.
Yeah.
But do you know who was very good? I don't know whether you've seen it. I can't think now. Brad Pitt did a great Irish accent.
Oh, and he was a gypsy. He was a tinker, right?
Yes.
Can you say tinker these days?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the term
is
anymore.
He's a gypsy, right? They were Irish gypsies. Yeah.
Don't get into the political correctness thing, because I'm the wrong guy every time. But he did a brilliant Irish accent. I mean, he was just, I don't know how he did it, but that gypsy accent is difficult to do, and he got it bang on. It was very, very good.
So Irish tenor Paul Byram is here. A texter wants to know what you think about the legendary Luke Kelly?
Fuck, Luke Kelly was legendary, yeah.
I don't know, Luke Kelly, is that a tenor or a...
No, he wasn't a tenor, no. He, a very rough kind of voice, you know, he was a balladeer, we'd call him, you know. And he was the original lead singer of a group called the Dubliners. And anybody that wants to, you know, the Dropkick Murphys and all these kind of guys, I feel... all came from the likes of the Dubliners, you know. And Luke Kelly, when you listen to his voice, it's raw. It's a raw voice, you know. And when he sang songs, there was a real belief in what he sang, you know.
Yes.
And only recently, he died at a young age. I think he was in his mid-40s. But then he was replaced by a singer called Ronnie Drew. And Ronnie had a real voice like this, you know.
Yeah.
A real groggy voice, you know.
Well, Thin Lizzy, we always talk about Thin Lizzy.
Oh, Thin Lizzy. Yeah, one of my favorites.
So I'll give you a funny one, because we were talking about, you know, are you more smarter than somebody drunk at the Southie Parade? So they erected a statue in Dublin.
We've seen it.
Yeah, I've been
of
there.
Of Thin Lizzy. Oh, yeah, the amount of Americans that stand out, oh my God, they got a Michael Jackson statue. Because he's black and he's got an afro. Like, you know.
So they think it's Michael Jackson.
And there's people often standing in front of him, take a picture of me with Michael Jackson.
Oh, Phil.
Mother of divine Jesus.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I love
it. But they've recently erected a statue, and rightfully so, of Luke Kelly in Dublin. And it's a beautiful statue near Grafton Street. He was a great, great singer, great man. And if anybody is out there today, put in Luke Kelly into Spotify or whatever it is you listen to, and just sit back and listen to it. It's a real, real Irish. There's a great one about Ronnie Drew, which I like. He used to say, he was to drink an awful lot, you know.
Yeah.
And he used to say to him, you know, what's the best time to have a Guinness? And he used to say, the best pint of Guinness you can ever have is the first in the morning. He said, what? Yeah, it gets rid of the taste of toothpaste.
It gets rid of the taste of toothpaste. I love it. Yeah, we have a friend, Jim Cook, who started Sam Adams, who says that it's hard to drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Right, exactly.
Is that what the phrase is? Yeah. So listen, I'm gonna have to be that person. I mean, are you going
again?
Are you again? Like, yeah. Are you gonna? Will you sing something?
What do you want me to sing? Like,
well, I don't know.
WAAF, it seems like a cool station, and you wanted Irish tenor to sing.
Yeah,
like,
I want an Irish tenor to
lose
sing.
Listeners?
I mean, listen, I don't know what your status is. I'm on Instagram Live, and all these ladies are like, "Is he single?
I am.
You're single?
I'm single.
Danielle was the one who was asking me.
Yeah, listen, knock it out. I'm here with my dog.
Don't make
for the
it
week.
Weird. Oh wait, what? You have a dog?
I was going to bring my dog. I bring him everywhere.
You do? What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Morkie, so he's half Maltese, half Yorkie.
Oh my gosh!
And I got him in New York about 5 years ago, and I brought him back to Dublin. And then this time around, I thought, you know what, I'm bringing him on tour with me. So I've got him with me, and he's rocking it out.
What's his name?
Bradley.
Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley.
Name for Bradley Cooper.
So if anybody wants to follow me on Instagram, it's Paul Byram. I'm Gascrack.
Well, I mean, I think if you're up for singing something.
Okay, well, let me try to think.
Something.
Because again, I'm very like
you're hungover.
I'm probably going to sound more like Luke Kelly as opposed to a tenor.
I think on this show, that's fine.
Well, I'll sing a song about Dublin. So,
okay,
this song tells the story about how it kind of changes. Now, I will say this: a lot of Irish, we do one thing very well. Do you know what we do very well?
Oh, I would say drink.
Yeah, obviously everybody. Okay. We do misery very well.
Yes.
Oh, the Irish love a bit of misery.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And 73 verses to every song.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I won't do that to you.
Okay.
But I'll just sing. This song is about a man who grew up in Dublin, and you know, he was talking about how Dublin is changing all the time. I notice how Boston is growing at a rapid rate. I know Marty Walsh is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But like, I was in there yesterday, or Saturday at TD Garden. Last time I was at TD Garden, that bloody building in front of it wasn't there.
No,
I know.
What's going on?
You're like, whoa, what?
You walk in the new way. It's so weird.
And it's great. Yeah. But this man talks about how much as it's great to see Dublin changing, you know, it's kind of sad as well. It's losing some of them. So I'll just do a verse or so of this.
And what's it called?
It's Dublin in the Rare Old Times.
Okay, Dublin in the Rare Old Times. This is Irish tenor Paul Byram.
Raised on songs and stories, heroes of renown. Oh God, I'm so hungover. The passing tales and glories that once was Dublin town. The hallowed halls and houses, the haunting children's rhymes that once was part of Dublin in the rare old times. Ring-a-ring-a-rosy, as the light flight declines, I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. My name, it is Sean Dempsey, as Dublin as could be, born hard and late in Pimlico, in a house that ceased to be. By trade I was a cooper, lost out to redundancy, like my house that fell to progress, my trade's a memory. Ring-a-ring-a-rosy, as the light declines, I remember Dublin City in the rare old times. I'm not going to lose any more listeners for you.
That was fantastic. Are you kidding me? You're not losing any.
Thank you very much.
People are getting chills. You're not. That was awesome.
No, the pleasure. Pleasure's mine.
Oh, my God. That was fantastic. That was fantastic.
It's a lot of fun coming in. I was enjoying your segment on the way in this morning, listening to people talking about the Blarney Stone and everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How did you guys not know it was the gift of the gab?
I don't know.
Gift of the gab. As well, somebody was like, it's gift of gab. I'm like, what? How can they get it so wrong?
Yeah. But is it true that you're not supposed to kiss it because of the things that people have
just done? Stop it. Not
at all. Don't worry about that.
And look,
right?
I'm sure there's people around this table here that have kissed a lot worse. I wouldn't be worried about somebody
your name was Gina. She was at the strip joint in Worcester.
Gina, I know her well.
Yes.
God, how
beautiful.
Yeah, lovely girl altogether. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, I so appreciate you coming in.
Pleasure's all mine.
Are you going to be back soon? Because you got to come back.
I'm in town all the time. Yeah, I just I dip in and out all the time, and especially if there's women asking about my availability, I'll be here a lot more often.
Well, see, that's the thing is, well, they're all going to follow you now on Instagram.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
say,
Paul Byron.
Hey.
Yeah. We'll have the crack on my Instagram account. And when I say crack, obviously, I'm talking Irish crack, not what's on sale on some corners in Boston.
Right. Yeah, that crack, the good crack.
It's the good crack as opposed to.
Crack in Ireland means fun, right?
Right, of course. Yeah, it's the Irish word for fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ciúil
agus crack, music and fun.
Music and what? Yeah. Say that again.
Ciúil is music. Ciúil agus and crack.
Crack.
Fun.
All right.
Ciúil agus crack.
I think you have a lot of wedding proposals to get to on your.
Oh no! Well, let's now be very clear on this before we move any further. I'm happy to meet young women. I'm never getting married.
Never getting married.
I did that once.
Yeah. Not again.
No, it drained the life out of me. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's Mary Joseph. I was actually. I had no gray hair. I had no wrinkles. Got married. Look at me now. Wrecked.
I'm $1.6 million in the hole.
Yeah, it costs a fortune. It's just not worth it, you know. So if anybody's just looking to have the crack.
That's it. Yes.
All right. Hit me up.
Well, great job. You brought some luck to the Celtics on Saturday.
I've got 100% record with them.
Yeah.
Every time I sang, they win.
Yeah. Really? Every time you sang?
Every time I sang.
All right, we got to remember that come playoff time.
I know. Yeah. And I used to have a great relationship with Doc Rivers and everything, and then Doc left, and I was like, well...
Back now. No, you're back now.
I'm back now.
Well, it's really nice to see you.
Thanks again. Appreciate it.
We will be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A texter, I'm guessing it's a woman, referring to our guest a few moments ago as the exquisite Irish tenor.
Yeah. So he was great.
I want to thank Paul Byron, Irish tenor, for stopping in this morning. This is Scott. Hello, Scott.
What's up? Good morning, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's day late, but what's up?
What's up, Scott?
All right, real quick. So how cool is that? How cool is that dude, by the way?
Oh, he's fantastic. Great guest.
Oh, what a great, awesome. Brilliant. Much like him, I think I'm still buzzed, so bear with me. But a couple comments, all right?
Yes, quick.
I'll be quick, kid. All right. A couple questions. Is he still there?
No, he left. Oh, Scott, I got to...
All right. Am I the only person who still doesn't understand Great Britain and what makes it up? Is it Northern Ireland? Name, you know what, Danielle, Miss Know-It-All, as they call you? Name Great Britain. Do you even know what it is? Who encompasses it? What is it? I don't.
That's an LB question.
That's. I can't with Scotland.
England, Scotland, and Wales, right? It's that part.
Right.
Yes, that and Northern Ireland.
That is Great Britain.
Okay.
Yes, that's Great Britain. Thank you, Scott.
I've said
you start
before,
at the bottom and go to the top.
Yeah. I've said before, my knowledge of history and geography is abominable. I have no problem with it. Because I hated those classes.
You did?
I was a math and science person. So organic chemistry, I had no problem getting an A.
Yeah.
You give me a map of the continent of Africa, and I'm like, okay.
Well, I want to thank... Paul, the Irish tenor, for coming by this morning. He did a great job yesterday. Saturday at the Celtics and the Bruins, was hanging around the parade yesterday. And speaking of the parade yesterday and the St. Patrick's Day breakfast yesterday, we are joined right now by the man who put it all together this year, and it is Senator Nick Collins, who joins us with a little review of his first breakfast, the first one that he was in charge of. Senator, thanks for being on.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
So what'd you think? This is your first one in charge.
There's no business like show business. but I thought it went off pretty well. You know, there were some pretty good reviews, but we had a lot of fun up there. So I think we're going to come back again next year.
I wanted to ask who you thought got off the best line yesterday. I mean, I thought the mayor was pretty funny. I thought the governor had a couple good ones. I mean, I know you have to – you're a politician, so you're going to say everybody was funny. But
I will say that everyone was funny, but I think the top two were Congressman Steve Lynch, who always treats us with either a song or a good quip, and Councilor Frank Baker from Dorchester.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He let it all hang out, and he wasn't pulling punches. So that's what we're looking for, and do it in a way where you're not too mean. So I thought it was a great day all in all. The parade was a lot of fun. We actually were fortunate to have Paul Byron at the breakfast, as you know.
Yes.
And he kind of ended the show for us in spectacular fashion with a rendition of Danny Boy, and then a very powerful rendition of Island's Call. We had everyone on their feet, so it was a great way to end it.
He's just such. He was so funny in here. He's so talented. I mean, see, you hear him sing and you melt. I mean, the guy is just. He's amazing.
Oh yeah, he had people in tears singing Danny Boy yesterday.
Well, we were talking earlier about I think I mentioned your quote where you said it may have been a mistake to invite Conor McGregor. Do you still feel that way, or what's 24 hours later? What do you?
I think it's the. Well, first of all, you know, you should be able to handle a celebrity of sorts. The problem was the parade organizer, Dave Falvey, made the decision late and wanted to march with him. And so it created a situation where the police didn't have a plan for it.
Yeah.
And they were great because they managed it very well. You know, crowds like pouring off the sides because he got out of his car and was, you know, drawing crowds, and I think without a management plan, they had to improvise, and which required them to take police off the posts, which is unsustainable. This is the largest public event in the state, and so you know they only got to about Broadway and L Street. Now, they're making a lot of people feel uncomfortable. There's a mix of people at crowds. There's a lot of young people. There's a lot of old people. There's a lot of people with families. So it's a delicate balance, and. You know, all the young people who see him as a celebrity were, you know, piling off the streets, you know, to get a chance to whether it's get a photo with him or whatever. And it just became a major distraction to the police and a public safety issue because, you know, on our own contingent, my daughter was out there. We had a baby carriage, my brother the same. We had to put all the kids inside the vehicles just to protect them from the mob, so to speak. So you know, they couldn't handle that for too long because it was, we weren't even halfway through the parade by the time they decided that they had to get him off. Because I also don't think he was listening to them. I think he was, you know, wanted to stay. They wanted him in his car waving to people. That was fine. But then he started getting out, and that's when people were running towards him to, like I said, catch a photo or whatever. So I think if they had a plan on it like a month ago or a week leading up, even a few days, not announced the night before because he's in town, you're going to have him in the parade, and then it's... You know, there's a lot of work that gets done. So Brian Bishop, the parade organizer, was advocating that he have a different location in the parade, not up front where it would disrupt their flow because they have a window where they have to get the parade done. And they You know, the head of the Allied War Veterans Council, Dave Falvey, overruled him as the commander, and that was a mistake. I think he should have left it in the hands of the organizer who knew what he was doing, and you know, it's too bad because I think that's something that should be easily done with a plan, and yeah. I think they didn't do that, and that's unfortunate. So I think at the end of the day, given it was late in the game, and they weren't equipped, no, because it ended up making people feel unsafe, and then you know, when that happens, you know, it's not a great day. So
do you think
but it ended up being great. The cops made a great decision. Superintendent Combe, Leiden made the determination, given the fact that there was just too many resources being pulled, and they whisked them off. So he had a stretch, but he didn't make it even the shortened version when the snow hit, just because of the, as they said, the chaos it was creating. So the police made the right call.
And is the, the parade will continue. I know sometimes there are, you know, even the mayor was kind of joking about it yesterday about the, there can be, you know, a weather cancellation and that maybe he sort of, you know, goes back and forth about whether or not he's happy when it's canceled because of weather or something. But I think the parade will continue forever, right? I mean, it's not going to.
Oh, yeah. The parade's definitely going to continue. So the breakfast, the 118th year of the breakfast parade started even before, but they're great celebrations. When asked, other than the historical and cultural significance, for me, it gets people out of the house after, you know, 3 months of winter time hibernating. So that's why it's important. You know, you break through the rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. No, I agree. And
it's a phenomenal experience. It's amazing.
It's a great event. It really is a great event.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's a day that makes politicians uncomfortable. You're exposed. You're exposed in the street. You're exposed at the breakfast. So, you know,
yeah,
the public loves that.
Has anybody done a wellness check on Senator Warren? I mean, she was really the target of a lot of stuff yesterday.
I know. Well, she's a good sport, so I'm sure she'll be back with a vengeance next year.
Well, she'll. Let's see. Is that still an election year? Because she'll. Yes, she'll. She might be in Iowa during, or New Hampshire or something. But
you know what? Actually, by then, we're Super Tuesday might actually be over by then.
Oh, so
that's
who knows?
Usually March, yeah, early March. So that's usually about 2 weeks before St. Patrick's Day. So hey, she'll be a state U.S. senator. So we hope she'll be back one way or the other.
All right. Well, listen, great job on everything, and you got big shoes to fill when it comes to being in charge of the breakfast. So it sounds like you pulled it off the first one, and great job on everything with the parade and all the rest of the stuff over there.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. There's Senator Nick Collins, and 1 million people in attendance yesterday, 88 citations for underage drinking, and only 3 arrests.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
And
yeah.
Conor McGregor.
That's a win.
Conor McGregor was not one of the 3 that were arrested.
You know what they got to do with the Conor McGregor thing is do like the Pope-mobile with the glass.
Yeah.
You know, with a golf cart with the glass enclosed container.
Yes.
I feel like the key to avoiding the arrest of the citation is just don't be a dick. Most of the times the cops just want you to calm down and chill out. And if they tell you something, listen to them. If you act up, that's when they're like, okay, fine, we're going to escalate this. But if you're just like, I'm sorry, and then stop what you're doing, they're usually, they, you know.
Do what everybody does at the parade every year and have your booze in a Dunkin' Donuts
cup.
Exactly.
Right, exactly, I mean, like a real asshole. Vanilla nut taps.
Danielle, they start drinking early, okay?
I know.
I'm just saying.
I know.
You know, you may or may not have your wits about you when that officer says, could you please pull up your pants?
Well, then you're going to get a citation or arrested.
I just think people don't wrap their head around the fact that you have one police officer for 1,000 people.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
That's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
Great job, fellas, ladies.
Yeah. No, I think it's true that if you have the opportunity to plan for the ruckus that may be caused by a Conor McGregor, that is different than him at the end of the Bruins game saying, hey, I want to get in the parade tomorrow. Can I get in the parade?
You know, they planned appropriately for when we were with the Dropkick Murphys.
Well,
they still kicked us out.
Yeah, right?
You're too loud.
Yeah.
And they still kicked us out. You're right about that. All right.
It is 8:53, and it is going to be sunny today, and the temperature is going to be 43 for a high. You can listen to WAAF on your Amazon Echo. It's easy. All you have to do is ask you know who to play WAAF and to turn your smart speaker into a radio. I won't say her name because it'll throw everything out of whack this morning. But you will be able to very simply listen to us wherever you are. Let's see. Here's somebody who says, I watched yesterday and it was the most unfunny St. Patrick's Day breakfast ever. I don't know that it's often really funny. I think the idea is you've got politicians who aren't normally delivering funny lines and they're up there giving it a go. I think that's kind of the charm of it.
I think as each year goes by, people get more and more afraid to be a little edgy with the jokes.
Yes.
So it's 2019 now. The PC movement is strong and they probably could have had some good zingers that people would have loved and chortled at. But they're like, what? That one could go either way. Let's just not do it.
Wouldn't you love to be on the mayor's staff on the governor's staff when these people are reading over what they might say and going into a complete and utter panic over the fact that they might make a joke about something that's going to trigger somebody?
Ugh.
Yeah. I think in general it's I thought Marty had a good line about how the governor got into Harvard and that he checked a box that said progressive Democrat and that's how he got into Harvard, which I thought was pretty funny. There were some funny lines. So, all right. It is 8:55.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.